Peter chapter 2 again. Now I will tell you this, I am using a different sword this morning because Joe and Debbie bought me a new Bible. That's nice, ain't it? That's nice.
No more duct tape.
No more duct tape. You don't have to look at the duct tape. I was embarrassed by the duct tape, but I had to have it on there because the sides were plumb falling off. But it is nice, but you know, if I think of a passage, especially something I don't have wrote down or something, I'm looking for it usually. I know where it's at, but I look for it on a certain page, certain place. So I may fumble around finding stuff this morning. So you bear with me if so. 1 Peter chapter 2, and let me just read it again. I'll try not to be too long. Where Peter, he's actually continuing in verse 1. He says, wherefore, because of what he's just said, wherefore, actually, because of what God has done for us.
Yes, sir.
Because he's talking about us being born again by Christ, by the Logos, into which we are then called by the gospel. That would be the facts he lays out. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, hard thing to do, ain't it? And all guile and hypocrisies. Now, and envies and all evil speakings. One thing, just when I read that, I think of what Tim James said on a message I heard him preach. The very fact that we're told we need to what lay aside these things lets us know what we have these things.
Exactly.
It's not having laid aside. It's actually laying aside is the proper Greek here. Not having laid aside, but laying a constant thing.
Yes,
and you know, it doesn't make you feel too good when somebody says, "Well, you're a hypocrite." You know what you usually ought to tell them?
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. All too often we are. But Peter says, laying aside all these things, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. There is one of the virtues of God in Christ, that God is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed. Remember what that word means, belittled. I think that disallowed is a good word, but it's not just something that people are familiar with. Belittled. A living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. And remember, precious.
Amen.
Not just chosen of God and precious, but chosen of God, precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. How? Something we will look at in some detail, God willing, a little later. How are they acceptable? Only by Jesus Christ. This song. Where was it there? Verse 3, the one we sang, just how sweet the name. By him my prayers acceptance gain.
Amen.
See, we're not praying through to God.
No.
We can only pray, and our prayers can only reach God through the person of Jesus Christ. He's the mediator,
yes,
and He is the only mediator.
Amen.
I'm jumping ahead, but mediation includes intercession.
Yes, sir.
But with Jesus Christ, He is more than just an interceder. You and I may intercede for one another toward God. You know, I may cry out for things for you to God. You may cry out to God for things for me. But one thing about it, I cannot guarantee any of it.
Yeah.
And even if God does for you or for me what we ask for one another, it's not because of us.
Yeah.
Therefore, we are not mediators.
Yeah.
Okay? And I don't want to stop and stay with that. We can offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to a God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also, it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And remember, that word is what? Ashamed. That's what to do. There are times, you know, there are certain things. If someone asked you, if they asked me about nuclear physics, and I tried to respond, I would be confounded.
Yeah.
But much more than just confused, I would be ashamed of myself. Because I don't know anything about those things. Quantum physics, have no idea what it even means. I mean, I know the phrases and the theory and basics, but David, that's about it. That's about it. Y'all don't even know I can spell it or not. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Now these are not statements of he ought to be, he should be, he could be. But if you believe on him, you're not ashamed of him.
Amen.
If you're ashamed of him, you don't believe on him.
Yeah.
You may believe in a Jesus, but it's not this Jesus, chosen of God and precious.
Exactly.
And if you do believe, unto you therefore which believe, what? Precious. He is fine. Let's talk about Christ, precious. Unto them which be disobedient, you can say on the other hand though.
Yeah.
But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders what? Belittled.
Yeah.
Disallowed. The same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. And then it says these words, which I'm not even dealing with it, whereunto also they were appointed. You were appointed to believe. If you believe, God appointed you to believe.
Amen.
That's right.
But God also appointed men to be disobedient as well.
Yes, sir.
That's what this says.
Yeah.
Somebody says that makes God the author of sin. No, it makes God the appointer of these people to this thing. That's what it makes it. And nothing else is. Don't add into it. That's what it says.
Yes, sir.
Whereunto also they were appointed. But ye, on the other hand again, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. But why? Why? Why did God save me?
Yeah.
Why did God save you? Not for your glory. He didn't even save us for our own benefit as the main cause. We certainly benefit from it.
Yes, sir.
But why? That ye should show forth the praises, the virtues, the excellencies of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
So remember his excellencies. There are two mentioned by Peter. Gracious, we've looked at that. Precious. In other words, and I'm going to try to say it again, this word means his inestimable value. That is, he is priceless.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot put a price on how precious he is. And throughout all of these things, here are the five things. I changed it to numbers. So I could go back, if I wanted to pick one out, I'd actually have the number I listed here instead of the letters. Number one, and this is no certain order, but there is some order here. That is, first of all, this is the preeminent one. That is, the reason he's precious is because of God's estimation of him.
Yeah.
That's why he's precious, because he's precious to God. God's estimation of him. And because of that, number two is true. God is not honored apart from Christ.
Exactly.
There is no honor of God apart from Christ. If Christ is disallowed, if he is belittled, if he is ignored, then God is not honored. That's number two. Number three, spiritual life rests in Christ.
Amen.
Fourthly, spiritual faith has Christ as its object. It's not just having faith.
That's right. Amen.
But it's faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not having faith in a set of doctrines, Joe.
Yeah.
Not a set of doctrines. Not certain doctrines. But it is believing the doctrine of Christ.
Yes, sir.
It is believing that. God willing, we'll look at that. Spiritual faith, fourthly, has Christ as its object. And fifthly, Christ is the mediator.
Amen.
Every blessing I have has come in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know the passage that God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Yes.
In heavenly places, but how? In Christ.
Amen.
So we began last week looking at this, God's estimation of him. And go back now to chapter 2, where it says in verse 4, let me make sure I'm right, yeah, chapter 2, verse 4, to whom coming, that is, we come to Christ, and we come by believing. That is the coming. And remember, this coming, this believing, is bowing.
Yes,
It's bowing. It is not just believing and bowing. It's not just, well, I've got to do this. But it's a blessing to do this. You see, to you therefore which believe, he is what? He's not a burden. He's precious.
Amen.
Precious. But look at verse 4 again. To whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. Yes, that's true. Every one of his excellencies men belittle.
Yes, sir.
We say, well, everybody believes God's gracious. No, they don't.
Well, that's true.
Most people reject the grace of God.
Amen.
In its truth. Because they'll believe it's unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor until you get down to the fact that God chooses one and not another.
Yep.
Or, as it would actually state in Scripture, God chose some over others.
That's what it says. Yes, sir.
Over others. God chose some and not others. Jacob I loved. Esau I hated. That's choosing one over the other. Now, when you get that far, when you talk about that kind of grace, it ain't precious to the world.
That's
is
exactly.
It? But if you believe, it's precious. It's precious. You telling me I got to believe in election? No, I'm saying you got to experience election.
Amen.
Yeah.
And once you have, you'll come around to believe it. And you'll come around to the fact that it's precious to you. It'll happen in God's good time. You see, you cannot hate election and not hate God. Because he is the electing God.
Exactly.
You cannot believe in grace and hate electing grace because the election is what? Of grace.
Amen.
It's just what Joseph said. They'll know the doctrine. Mm-hmm. Whether I speak of myself, whether it comes from God or whether I speak of myself. And let me tell you, you'll know it. If God Almighty gives you spiritual life, you'll know it even if you still try to fight against it.
Yeah.
There'll be a part of you that says, that's the truth. Even though another part will say, I hate that with all I am. But look, let me get back to it here. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. And this is a statement of God. Who chose Christ? Now let me, I've said this over and over again, but people still say it. I've probably slipped up and said it. We don't choose Jesus Christ. Men being enabled by God, men being given, having been given a heart to perceive, eyes to see, and ears to hear, may choose to believe Christ. They may choose to follow Christ. They may choose, David, to love Christ. But we don't choose Christ.
Exactly.
God chose Christ.
Amen.
We don't choose. There has to be an adjective put in there when you talk about us choosing Christ.
Yeah, exactly.
We choose to do something concerning Christ, but we didn't choose Christ. And he said that, didn't he? He told the 11,
yeah.
You've not chosen me. He didn't say, I chose you first. He said, you have not chosen me. I chose you.
Amen.
So let's try to state that correctly when we state that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't choose Jesus. Why? Because God chose Jesus. He's chosen whether we choose him or not.
Amen.
So that's the whole point. And because he's chosen, what is stated of him? Precious. Precious in whose sight? God's sight.
Amen. That's it.
You see, God's sight. And in my, even being enabled by God's grace, in my seeing Christ as precious, all I'm doing down, all I can do in that gift of God is to bow down to the fact that he is precious in God's sight.
Amen. Yes.
Because God estimates him thus.
Yes, sir.
And we began looking at, what was it, Colossians? Wasn't it chapter 1? That's where I think I ended, wasn't it? Colossians chapter 1. So here's where it kind of gets my eyes, because I'm used to it being in a certain place. All right, now let me look. Okay. One, and I'm just going to hit the high spots until we get to the last part, because I dealt with verse 13, 1. It says, the kingdom of his dear son. We know that means a few things. One, that means he's a king.
Yes, sir.
If there's a kingdom, you got to have a king.
Yes, sir.
Right? And a king has what? Power.
Yes.
Authority. All right? And a king also has what?
Subjects.
Yep. In that is one of his... That is one of the things, Joe, in which he is precious.
Yes, sir.
Precious. Some people say, you don't believe in the kingdom. You believe in the kingdom that's to come. Yeah, I believe the kingdom will come to this earth.
Yes,
but his kingdom exists now.
That's
And we have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son now.
Amen.
But just like my salvation is right now hidden, you don't really see it. You might see little parts where you say, you know, I believe Walter's another believer. He's a fellow believer. But you're not going to see that, know that absolutely until I awake. And I won't even know it absolutely until I awake in his likeness. But I've got to awake in his likeness. If it's real now, it'll have to really happen then.
Amen.
Same things with the kingdom. The kingdom exists now, but you can't see it.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't see it. But one day men will see it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Right, that's one of the things in which he's precious. One of his excellencies, right? Kingdom. Then look, what? Redemption, the next verse. In whom we have. In whom? Christ now.
Yeah.
In whom we have what? Redemption through his blood. You see, our redemption has nothing to do with our faith.
Exactly.
We're not redeemed by faith. Okay. Never does the Bible say that.
No, sir.
We're not redeemed by repentance. Though faith and repentance are vital elements of God's sovereign purpose for his people,
yeah.
Yet redemption has nothing to do with faith and repentance.
That's right.
Redemption don't even have to do with regeneration and conversion.
That's right.
Redemption has to do with blood.
Amen.
He is not redeeming us. He has redeemed us.
Amen.
In whom we have redemption through his blood. And then even what? Even the forgiveness of sins. And aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
Gee, you know, the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God? Maybe it's an oversimplification, but who is the image of the invisible God? In other words, you cannot see God. He's invisible. He is spirit, which is not material. It's immaterial, but it's real, but it's not physical. But in Jesus Christ, if you could look, Joe, if you could look at Jesus Christ with your eyes, you've seen God Almighty. God Almighty. And God Almighty is now seated in the person of the Son at the right hand of the person of the Father in heaven as a man.
Yes, sir.
A man, flesh and bone, sits there.
Yep.
The firstborn of every creature. And that doesn't mean he was the first one born. He is the one that from which all life flows.
Yep.
Because then it says, for by him were all things, what? Created. And remember, God created everything when nothing existed but him.
Exactly.
Nothing else existed. What was that Scott Richardson said once? God made everything out of nothing, and when he runs out of nothing, he'll make some more.
Amen.
He was being funny. But it's still true. You see, you and I do not create.
No.
I go out here, I couldn't do it. But people will go out here, they'll cut a piece of wood, and they can carve. Some artists or carvers say they see that image in that wood, even when it's there, Mason. And they're just cutting away. You know, I've heard this said. The pieces. And they can do a marvelous work. And they say, well, they created that. No, they didn't create that. It was something that's already there. Creation, in its truest sense, is to bring something into being that did not exist before.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
That's why this idea of the Big Bang, even if it has a divine authority to it, is just not so. Nothing existed when God created everything that is created, even if you can't see it. If it was created, it did not exist at one time.
Exactly.
And God Almighty created it.
Amen.
For by him were all things created. Now, a lot of people believe that, right? But look at what else says, that are in heaven, that are in earth. Whether you can see them or you can't, right? Visible or invisible.
Amen.
Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. And remember, that basically includes everything from the best to the worst.
Yes, sir.
In the universe, from demonic to angelic.
Yes, sir.
Everything is included in those phrases. And all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him, all things are held together. They consist. All right, we've looked at that. Then look at what it says. And he is the head of the body, the church. You know, you can. There are certain members of your body, certain appendages you can do without. But you ain't going to do without your head.
Amen, that's right.
Without the head, the body ain't nothing but dead flesh. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that God has a partial body. God's body is full. His body are his the people, the church, the elect, those called, those regenerated and converted. But Christ is the head. Now that's a metaphorical expression as given there. But also not only is he is the head, that is the thing here, but he's the head. He's in charge.
Yes, sir.
He's the head. You see, I am not the head of this assembly. Christ is.
Amen.
There are a lot of assemblies, like people call them churches, where certain people, men or women, are in charge. I'm not in charge. God Almighty, in the person of his Son, is head of the body, right?
Amen.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That means, in other words, he's first in everything, right? In all things. Now some say he's, I read one of the, wasn't a commentary, but like a Bible dictionary or something, preeminence. It says he's preeminent to the church. No, that in all things he might have. Go back. Everything. Dominions, principalities, the church, everything.
Yeah.
He has the what? The preeminence. Yeah. That word includes the base word protos. Yeah. You know that sounds familiar. Proto, like a prototype. Mm-hmm. It means what? The first one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
That's in its basic form. The one who is preeminent is what? The first one. The first one. But it has much more than just a first one. The context, and this is the only place this word itself is used in the scripture, is here by Paul. That in all things he might have the what? The preeminence.
Amen.
So, but it's much more than just he's the first one. He created everything, and he holds it all together.
Yes, sir.
Now, I said this last week, and I want to kind of correct it. I said, if there's something in your life and it's there, and it's there because God's holding it together. And then I said something along the line, if something falls out of your life, you know, if something happens, and falls, I said, that's God doing it too. That's true, but here we're seeing is everything that's supposed to be, everything is where it's supposed to be as far as Christ's sovereign power is concerned.
Yeah.
Now, I may not be what I ought to be according to his revealed word. But Mason, I'm exactly where God Almighty ordained for me to be at this very time.
That's it.
And God ordained for me to still be to where I've got to lay aside malice, guile, and hypocrisy, and evil speakings, doesn't it? One day that'll be gone, but it ain't gone now.
That's it.
It ain't gone now. But why? Remember, the whole point, the point number one is God's estimation of him. Why is Christ that important? I think that's an okay way to say it, ain't it? Why is he vitally important, Joe? Why is he first important? Why is he supreme? Why? Because God said so.
Amen.
Right? Isn't that what it goes on to say? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Why? You know, usually, well, why is so-and-so more important than so-and-so? And we try to find some personal character, you know, something we can see that's a step above the rest. And these things are true, but remember, Christ is not a step above us. His character is not just better than us. His character is absolutely different from us.
Yes, sir.
He was indeed the only true, perfect man.
Amen.
Adam was created, but he was created with the capability of falling.
Yeah.
Christ is human. He is humanity, but it is unfallen and unfallible.
Yes, sir.
Humanity. Unfallen. Why? I remember this. Let me give you this. You might like this. Is there something that illustrates this in Scripture? Yeah, there is. You remember Esther, right? Queen Esther, the Jewish, young Jewish girl that became queen.
Yep.
And there were people in that country where Esther was, under the king to whom she was joined by marriage, a heathen king now, who were out to destroy her people, the Jews, right?
Yes, sir.
And she had a, what was he? Wasn't her uncle. Cousin? Cousin? Yeah, let me preach this. Help me out on what I need help with. Anyway. there was Haman who was set to destroy the Jews. And in particular, he was set to destroy Mordecai. That's the way you actually pronounce it. And when I actually learn that I can pronounce something right, I try to use it because I'm not very good at it. I used to say Mordecai. It ain't Mordecai, it's Mordecai. But you can say Mordecai if you want to be wrong. Haman was set to destroy Mordecai. But what happened? Mordecai ended up riding on the king's horse.
That's right.
Honored with high esteem. How? At the suggestion of Haman, who did not realize what he was suggesting. And I remember Henry Mann saying this, why should Mordecai ride the king's horse? Why? Because the king said so.
Amen.
And in that day, that was enough reason.
Exactly.
You understand? The reason all preeminence exists in Christ, that in Him, that let me read it, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Why? For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell.
Amen.
You see, my believing Christ's preeminence is not just accepting a fact about Him, but it's bowing down to God's estimation of Him.
Yes,
it is saying, God, you're right. That's what believing God is saying, God, you're right.
Amen.
What you purpose, what you were pleased to do, that's right.
Amen.
Now, a lot of people believe that Christ is preeminent. They'll preach He's preeminent. But if He's truly preeminent, then it means everything else falls in line under Him. It's got to. If your doctrine then, anything else after that, veers from the path of preeminence, you got the wrong doctrine. In other words, this is the precedent. He is preeminent. So then every other value of Him, every other thing in which He is precious, Ellen, must fall under this category and fit in line with it. He is preeminent.
Amen.
Yes.
Now that's why number two follows. Number two, God is not honored apart from Christ.
That's right.
Now you can be turning to 1 John chapter 2. All right, 1 John chapter 2. Remember, God's estimation of Christ. Remember, when we talk about Christ, we're talking about the man, Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
The God-man, yes, but even as a man, Mason, He's preeminent.
Yes, sir.
He's above everything else. So God's estimation of Him is that He's preeminent. And thus, that being so, this is why it's also true, I should say, God is not honored apart from Christ.
That's right.
Now the reason I say that is because there are many in our day who believe in God, but believe Jesus Christ really doesn't matter. As long as you believe in God, right? Well, we believe in God. I know people, some of us here, when maybe we met someone and we were going to date someone, we asked the question, well, do you believe in God? Sounds like a serious enough question, don't it? You know, and they say, well, of course I believe in God. Most people do. But that's what if you ask the devil if he believes in God?
Exactly.
You going to marry him too?
Yeah.
But he believes and trembles.
That's right.
You see, the question is not do you believe in God, but which God do you believe in?
Yeah.
Who is your God?
Yeah.
How precious is He? What's His characteristics? What's His attributes? Oh, had we known better. But we don't.
Exactly.
We don't. No, God is not honored apart from Christ. And here's how John puts it. 1 John 2, and mainly verse 22 and 23. Who is a liar? Now, not an untruth teller. Okay, we'll see this in a little while. In our day and age, it is not kosher. That's probably not the right word, but I'm being a smart aleck now. It's not appropriate to call somebody a liar.
Yeah.
You don't even call lies lies anymore. They're called untruths. Now, folks, it may seem to be, well, it's just a play of word. It really doesn't matter. It's just semantics. No, there's a deeper, more sinister thing behind it.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. sir.
The problem that untruth is a, not a bad word. It is trite. It is this conscious on some people's level.
Oh, yeah.
But it's it brewed into the subconsciousness of humanity that it's just not quality behavior to call a lie a lie. And you especially don't call a liar a liar.
That's it.
So now we have untruths and untruth tellers. Right?
Yeah, that's it.
But John says, who is a liar?
Amen.
Right? Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
Right? Well, somebody said, well, I believe in God. Big. Basically, let me interpret what James says, big deal.
Yeah, that's it.
So do the devils. They believe and tremble. James said, you believe in one God. That's real good.
You do well.
But the devils believe and tremble too. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is what? Notice it doesn't just say an unbeliever. That's true. But notice the language John uses. John is moved to use by God. He is antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Job quoted it, and our Lord prayed it. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. And know the only true God. And what? Or who else? And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
Amen.
Remember, God is not honored apart from Christ. To dishonor Christ is to dishonor God.
Amen.
To belittle Christ is to belittle God.
Yes, sir.
The next verse, and there's some addition you can see there if you have the King James, but it's still good. It wasn't in the received text, but it's still true. But look, the first part was there. Whosoever denieth the Son. Then notice what it doesn't just say denies the Father. That's true.
Yeah.
But what does it say? Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father.
Amen.
You see that? So that's why I'm saying God is not honored apart from Christ. We know God has to look favorably upon just men being decent to one another.
Yeah.
Well, let me say, men being decent to one another, God has acted favorably toward men that we are decent to one another. At any time, if you're ever decent to someone or someone is decent to you, it's because God has sovereign providence and causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust.
Amen. That's right.
I've watched a couple movies. You know, there are some decent people in this world. People that will go above and beyond what I would ever do for another human being.
Yep.
You know, and people outside of their station even. And bring them into their own station. Make them a part of their family. You maybe seen the movie, maybe you haven't, about the football player. What's it called? The Blind Side?
Yeah.
You know, those folks really existed. There are people like that in this world. But let me put it this way. They are like that because of God's benevolence toward humanity.
Yeah.
You find, but that does not gain men and women God's benevolence.
Exactly.
You see.
That's it.
And the kind of love you need from God is not the kind that merely causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust.
That's right.
You need the kind of love that saves.
Yeah.
That's what I need. Not just benevolence, but love.
That's right.
There's a lot of people in this world I'm benevolent to. Because I got to be. Huh? Come on, you're nice to a lot of people just because you got to be. But there's very few people in this world I love.
Yeah.
Now, I know that I ain't saying that's right. I'm just telling you that's the way it is. God's law says love your neighbor, love God with everything you are, and love your neighbors yourself.
Yeah.
But I can't.
Exactly.
The harder I try, the worse I get at it.
Yeah. That's true.
And that's just a fact. And in one manner of speaking, I just quit trying. I am what I am in Adam. And I can't change that. But I can, by God's enablement, Joe, you mentioned it, mortify your members which are upon the earth. I don't have to live as a fornicator. I don't have to live as a drunk. I don't have to live as a thief. I don't have to live as a child molester, do I? Not if I'm in Christ, I don't. Not if I'm in Christ, I don't. So, getting back, God is not honored apart from Christ. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. And then we have this added, but it's actually just the opposite. So saying it the opposite way. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. And that's true.
Yes, sir.
That's true. You see, there is no honor of God apart from Christ. Now look at John's next words. This is in 2 John, and I've got to wind this up. Verse 6, for the little bit of the context here. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. Now notice, aren't you glad it just says we walk after, and it doesn't say we got to keep them?
Exactly.
Somebody said, well, you're lowering the bar. No, that's the bar God gave. I'm not lowering the bar. I'm giving you the bar God set.
Yeah.
It's to walk after it. Not a one of us can keep His commandments even in our regenerated, converted state.
Exactly.
We can't keep them. This is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as you've heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and what? Antichrist. This person is against Christ. And if you're against Christ, you're against who? God.
Amen.
Then look what it says. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which ye have wrought, but that ye receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ doesn't have God. Isn't that what he said? Hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Well, I don't believe what you believe. Do you believe at least some of what I believe? Huh? Now come on. We often see, because what I believe is not my doctrine, but it's God's doctrine as is revealed in His book.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Peter, or Paul, what was that one? Was it Felix or one of them? He said, you know, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He said, I wish you was all together like me.
That's right.
Now, didn't he? Was Paul bragging about himself? No, he's talking about what Joe just preached this morning. Any man will do God's will, he'll know of the doctrine, whether I speak of God or whether I speak of myself. You see, God is not honored apart from Christ. And then, but it's more than that. Now, where's that? Okay, John. He that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you. Well, how do you then respond to people?
Yeah.
Right? Well, you got to be compassionate to everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Look what he says. Mm-hmm. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. Now, notice, the whole context in the Greek is not just some ignoramus out here that don't know.
No.
That's not the point here.
No.
This is someone who's bringing something to your house. Do you see that? Now, whether this Joe is your physical house or who you are, where you live. Some people say that's actually what John's saying. And I think it includes the whole nine yards, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, what does it say? Don't receive him into your house and don't even bid him Godspeed. That's tough language, but it's true. Why? Because a person that disallows Christ disallows God.
Amen.
They belittle Christ, they belittle God. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. I pretty much figure God's not honored apart from Christ, don't you? Now here's the other things, and I'm going to stop. God willing, deal with this later. Because of this, you hear what I'm saying? Because of this, spiritual life rests in Christ. And I will go so far as to say, we are so dead by nature, we can't even go get it.
Amen.
It has to come to us.
Amen.
That's what we're going to look at. Yeah, spiritual life rests in Christ, but not by me going out and laying hold of it, but by it laying hold of me.
Amen.
Why? Because Christ is, He brings it to you.
Yes, sir.
The grace of God that does what with salvation? Brings salvation. Doesn't offer it. It brings it. It brings it. And because spiritual life rests in Christ, that's why spiritual faith has Christ as its object. Right? And then what flows from that? Christ is the only mediator. Let me tell you something. If God gives you something just because I asked for it, you're in trouble. I don't even know what to pray for as I ought for myself, let alone for you.
Exactly.
Huh? as I've said it before, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not a person's enemy because I'm trying to tell the truth, although they may think that. Yeah. Don't be telling people, God bless you, you're not the high priest. Right. You're not the mediator. I'm not. Who is the mediator? Christ is the mediator. Now, you may ask God to bless somebody, but let me tell you, it still ain't up to you or me. They're either blessed in Christ or they're not. And that's just the way it is. Why? Because we don't want, Joe, to apply to us any of that inestimable value that God applies only to Christ.
Amen.
That's why I say this. That's why I warn us about things we say. Little ideas we have, little opinions we come up with. Why? Because it's not, well, you need to fall in line with what Walter believes. No, we need to bow down to God Almighty, that all preeminence is in Christ.
Amen.
Father, as we part and go separate ways, others who come to visit with us, and as they part and go their way, may it be that we think of one another, are mindful of one another. And Lord, yes, that we pray for one another. But in our prayers, may it be that we bow down to your sovereign power and right. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.